And it is another week. This is Andrew Wood, joined as always by pastor and friend Jason Hayes. Jason, today, is this considered the first snow of the season? Did we get a little bit?
I think we got a little bit a few weeks ago,
yeah,
actually.
But I think this is probably, we got more this
you
time,
think?
Right? Right?
You think? I don't know. I don't recall, honestly. I've slept quite a bit since
I think at least in Carnes, where I call home,
right?
We got more this time.
Carnes, the hub of the universe.
That's right.
I like it.
Yeah, I think you said you got, what, about half an inch. And I think we got whatever's more than half an inch. I think that's what we got.
Yeah, we were talking off air about you being that guy. Not necessarily you, but like how we know those people that are that guy. That if I'd have come in and I said we got 3 inches,
yeah,
you'd been like, yeah, oh, that's great. I think we probably got about 3.5.
Yeah, or yeah, maybe 3 1/8. I measured this morning. It's, whatever it is, it's definitely more than what you
right.
got in.
Yeah, and that's true on any discussion you were to have.
Any discussion. It's so
good. Yeah. Did you, did you get a chance to watch the game? Yeah, I actually know a few of the players.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. I mean, I try to watch every game because we go way back.
Yeah. And you know, one of those guys is like my brother's brother. Wait, isn't that just your brother? I'm confused. Like,
I was listening to a podcast the other day and they were talking about MMA fighters and one of the guys was like, oh, that's my dude. That's my dude. And the other guy was like, oh, you've had dinner? He's like, no. I mean, he's like, well, you've talked to him. He's like, no, I haven't met him. He's like, well, he's not your guy. You're a fan, not
now,
your dude.
I will say, now, I'm going to have a moment of full disclosure here, okay? Because I do feel as if, for whatever reason, I do know a lot of people.
Sure, yeah.
That doesn't make me a big deal.
Yeah,
it doesn't make me famous. It doesn't make me anything besides a guy that just knows some people.
Right.
And so I then like almost, like I want to interject at times, you know, like, oh, you know, that there's a concert here in town tonight. Mm-hmm. And this guy played in my wedding.
You know,
here in
guy.
His wedding.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are going to go to it. A lot of people are excited about it. And so people are like, I'm so excited about the Christmas, you know, show that this guy's doing. And I'm like, oh, but I don't want to be that guy.
He played my wedding,
and so
he just comes over to my living room periodically and plays. So.
Right.
But you enjoy your show.
Yeah. And if you guys are, for those of you that are really curious to know who it is Bono.
It is Bono. Of course he was, I was at your wedding and saw him. I didn't even know.
Okay, it is not Bono.
Yeah.
But it should be a great Christmas show tonight.
It should be.
Here at the Bijou Theater.
Yeah. Of course it will be.
Of course.
And so as we continue down that line of thinking, today I think it's important for me to let you and all the listeners know that Evelyn Lois Wood turns 4 today.
Man, a big day.
Today. She got up this morning, ran into our bedroom, and just yelled, "It is my birthday!"
I love that.
So super pumped.
As she should.
Super pumped. All the kids have been excited for their birthday. I feel like Evelyn's excitement has taken it to another level.
So do you all make a big deal out of birthdays?
We are not typically we're going to Dollywood at some point this week. That's what Evelyn's been wanting to do. And so we're going to go see the lights and do the Dollywood thing. That's what she wanted to do for her birthday.
That's fantastic. Yeah. I feel like, we're not set up very well as a family to really celebrate birthdays in a good way. We get a little taxed by birthdays. So even in my extended family, so my mom's birthday is October 12th, in case anyone's wanting to celebrate my mom in the coming
calendar.
Months. Yeah. But her birthday is October 12th. And so let's say this upcoming year, I'm just making it up, but let's say it's on a Tuesday. Well, my father's birthday is the next Tuesday. My brother's birthday is the next Tuesday. Carrie's birthday is the next Tuesday. And then 2 weeks from that Tuesday is my birthday.
Wow.
So you're like, man, so that's all of us. So like when it comes to parents and then a spouse, our birthdays are all really close. And then our boys' birthdays are all within about a 3-week period of each other as well, in August and September. And so, I mean, when you don't have that much rest in between, oh man, it's hard to go strong each and every one of those.
It is. Ours is a little bit spaced out. So we have, Gavin in summer. So summer's in May, or Gavin's in March, summer's in May. Evelyn's in December, Charlie's in January.
Oh, so you're well set.
And then, mine's in July. same day as George W. Bush.
Do you want to give the listeners just
July 6th?
Okay, great.
July
6th. Noted.
Of course, 2 days after the 4th. I mean,
sure.
It just makes sense.
Right.
And then Aaron's is in April. And so that's kind of how we're spaced out. But our thing is, it's like, what do you do? You know, what do you have a bunch of kids over? Do you, you know, I think as the kids get older, we'll see more of that.
Right.
But right now, you know, where's Evelyn? She doesn't have a lot of circles she runs in. And so she's 4.
Yeah.
So we're going to go to Dollywood and spend it with all our friends in East Tennessee.
Come on, man. Come on.
Did you watch the Dolly Hallmark movie?
I have not.
Okay. It's good. Somebody asked it, was it good? You know, it's like all the other Hallmark movies.
Yeah.
Very same storyline.
Yep.
My question is, it is an amazing advertisement for Dollywood.
Right.
So did Dollywood pay
probably to
have that movie made? And if they did,
it's probably
genius.
Some type of joint
it's
agreement.
A genius, well worth marketing venture. But yeah,
I'm sure it looks magical.
It was great. I had you know, here's me throwing that out there. I had friends that were in it.
Oh, great. Yeah.
In the background.
Sure.
As extras because they were at Dollywood that day.
Yeah. I mean, I get that. Of course.
You know, kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
I don't know why I didn't get a pre-screening of it, but you know, I thought I would, but I didn't.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But it was good.
All right. So today in the hardest transition possible.
There's no good way to transition.
We're going to talk about something that's not quite so jovial.
Yeah.
Something that's certainly not festive in nature, but something that I think is a really significant issue that is plaguing our society. And it is, the unfortunate topic of pornography.
Yeah.
And, pornography is not new. It is certainly rampant. But there's an interesting discussion that has arisen over the last several days, even between conservatives that I think, is a little eye opening for you and I.
Yeah.
And probably just warranted, our discussion today. And so we're going to talk a little bit about, what they're talking about and why they're talking about it. We're going to talk a little bit, more than about just the topic as a whole. And then as we do each and every week, our goal is going to be to try to help, people who are either entangled in it, folks that have loved ones that are entangled in it, and maybe even if you're not in it to make you, think rightly about it, so that, you can help others that might, and you can also protect yourself from future temptation. So tell us about what's going on.
So the interesting thing is I was on Twitter, the last few days and a lot of the conservative pundits, conservative folks that I follow, who normally are on the same page about a host of things.
Right.
Someone brought up the topic of porn and said, look, and actually there's been 4 congressmen that have written a letter to the attorney general to revive America's obscenity laws to stop the explosion of obscene pornography on the internet. And so there was just some conservatives saying this is a good move. We need to do this. The government, from a conservative standpoint, the government is there for the greater good of the people. That this has nothing to do with raising taxes. This is simply saying we don't need that online because our kids can see it and other folks can see it and they're addicted to it and it's ruining marriages and all of these things. Well, then you had another segment of conservatives that I follow and listen to.
And many of which you respect on certain issues. Yeah.
Saying absolutely not. This is a freedom of speech issue and anything and everything should be online. And the government has no role in curtailing that or doing anything with that. And so you had a back and forth of conservatives going, hold on, the genesis of the conservative movement is one that says the government is for the greater good.
Right.
That's not expansive government. It's just saying we need to have certain things in place. And then you have another segment that have gone over the last, I'd say 20 or so years, you've seen a lot of conservatives kind of move into a conservatarian bent, which means very much libertarian on a lot of issues when it comes to, internet, when it comes to free speech, when it comes to, you know, not necessarily, but I would say this is a social issue, but this is where a lot of libertarians change and go, no, the government has no right to tell anyone what to say or what not to say. The difference is this isn't just them talking. This is, I mean, there was a porn organization just the other day that were arrested for sex trafficking,
right,
which is very much a reality in
right.
a lot of that. You have revenge porn, which is where people are secretly recording other folks,
right,
exes and those type things and posting it online. So this isn't just a simple freedom of speech issue. This is a problem. that needs to be addressed. And so a conversation that we weren't expecting to have
right.
a couple weeks out from Christmas, but one that's happening in the greater narrative of our country.
Sure. And even listen to your thoughts there. Two issues, are elevated to me. The first is, you know, the idea of freedom of speech. And then the second, we'll get to it probably after the break, is, the idea of what is actually the greater good.
Yeah.
But when you think about freedom of speech, you know, this defense of, well, anything can go on the web,
yeah.
I would submit is not actually true. I mean, we certainly don't allow, you know, certain things that might bring violence or certain things that might incite, terrorism
yeah.
or things of that sort. I mean, there are some limitations. Heck, we have conservative, opinionists that are being censored in many ways
they've been
on
taken
Twitter.
Off Twitter. Yeah.
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 And so the idea that we can just say or present yeah. or do anything we want on this abstract palette that is the internet is whether that is right or not, it is certainly not being executed
yeah.
that way across the board. Would you agree?
Yeah, I would agree. And I think it is a fine line, because what some people would say, well, this will just be a door into, this will be a slippery slope.
Right.
But the issue here is some people are also assuming that these are two or multiple consenting adults filming this. The reality is many of the folks involved are not consenting. And so there's a lot more to look into this. There's a lot of trafficking that occurs. A lot of these folks, in this industry have been prostitutes. And so they've been trafficked multiple times, and then they just start putting it on camera. There's so many things that we have to be aware of. And I always, whenever we have this conversation, I always think of John Piper at one of the events I went to, spoke and said,
Are you and John Piper are buddies,
no,
right?
No.
Okay,
I am going to write a book about him one day, but we're
nice.
Not buddies. That just so I can sit down with him and have a conversation.
I love it.
But one thing that he said was, when he was growing up, he looked at one, Playboy magazine as like a 12-year-old, and he saw one image of a naked woman, and he said, to this day, now, John Piper doesn't have a TV in his house.
Right.
To this day, he said that image still causes him to sin. So fast forward to where we are in 2019. You don't need a magazine.
Right.
All you need
is a remote.
Is a remote.
Or
all you need is a phone,
yep.
a smartphone.
That's right.
And here's the thing. Not even, you don't even necessarily need a website. We have teenagers and adults sharing photos that they're not supposed to be sharing, and there's so many ways
right.
now that I don't think we were really prepared for. And as a dad to four kids, it's one thing that we're trying to figure out, what does that look like? When do they get access to these things? Because even at school now, they use right. iPads.
What was your experience in terms of like exposure? Like were you, I'm not asking you to
sure.
give me great
no,
details,
yeah.
you know, but it felt to me, and we'll talk more about it on the break, it felt to me that it was more, you know, if I was going to be exposed to something, it would be related to some show on television.
Absolutely, yes.
But man, there's so much
yeah.
more. We'll talk more about
yep.
it when we come back from the break.
I'm too excited. I can't sleep a winking. I stare at the snow outside my window just thinking, come on, Christmas.
It is almost Christmas time, Jason.
It is, and that Christmas song reminds me of one of my greatest failings on the radio show is last year's Christmas list.
That was a failing.
And anytime we do lists,
yeah.
I think it should be noted to our listeners, we do not prepare lists in advance.
Which I think is fair. I don't think
right.
we should prepare.
Like we do not prepare lists in advance, and because it gives us a little bit of fodder to deal
yeah,
with,
yeah, yeah.
you know, during the segment and things of that sort. But man, I just keep looking back to
well,
it.
Well,
the
interesting thing, the interesting
I was
thing about
on the radio earlier today, and they were talking about Christmas music, and they were mentioning like five or six or seven, and I don't know if even a single one of those made it onto my list.
Well, and I would say what tells me more about you is that we didn't prepare, and the one that came to mind was Train. That was the one thing where I'm like, out of all the
yeah.
ones that are running through your brain.
I know. It was just
the one that made it to your mouth and then came
right,
out was
right.
Train Christmas, which I didn't even know
yeah.
they had a Christmas album, but they
I think
do,
for
apparently.
The next show, I'm going to try to get Dave. I'm going to send him a link to it because I don't even know if it actually.
I don't either.
It may not even be available.
Real.
Yes, exactly right.
Wouldn't that be amazing? Because I haven't
it
searched.
It could be something that I contrived in my mind.
I haven't searched, but wouldn't it be amazing if we search and they don't even have a Christmas
album?
We'll see
what we can do.
That would be the greatest thing ever.
We'll get it to the listeners at some point.
That would be great.
So, anyways, we were talking again about this somewhat heavy discussion related to pornography. And I was just saying, for me, you know, my earliest of introductions to images, you referenced to John Piper, and, you know, I didn't have a ton of exposure to magazines or things of that sort. And by God's grace, I think I was protected in many ways in my earliest of days. You know, but again, just the exposure was really limited to television. But man, it's just so different these days.
Well, that's for us. It was. You know, we had probably when I turned 10 or 11, we had satellite TV. So it would be, you know, a TV show or a movie that would show something.
Right. But it wasn't just this full blown.
Yeah. And the interesting thing about it
was exposure to a sex scene.
The interesting thing about it was, you know, my parents, my dad, I guess, grew up in a time where it would be like, well, you're a dude, just, you know, whatever. Yeah. We're not going to cover your eyes. My mom obviously was very much different than that. And so, but now I think about it, we were watching something the other day with the kids. I mean, and there's very, if it's not pornography, it's something else. It's another agenda being pushed on a what should be a harmless TV show. And so it's a constant of figuring out what are we allowing them to take in? What are we taking in ourselves? And what are we watching that we think is no big deal, but is searing images inside the brains of our kids or us that are going to make us stumble?
Yeah, absolutely. And I would actually just point people, again, we're going to give a little bit more of the application towards the end of the show, but Common Sense is a website that you can check out. I can't remember if it's .com or .org, but you can just go to Common Sense. And it has some really good, insightful help when it comes to evaluating movies that you would allow either yourself to watch or a movie that you would introduce to your family. But, you know, you reference to, you know, this degree of evolution, you know, of the media. And some of that is simply just the evolution of media.
Sure, yeah.
I mean, it really is. It is. We didn't have the internet back there. It is. We were streaming videos back then. I mean, some of it is that, but I would also say in terms of exposure, in terms of pornography, I think it's safe to recognize that for the large majority, a simple exposure to something that might be degreed as almost soft in nature, if exposed enough to, will eventually your heart and even your mind will become almost callous to it, and you will have a certain desire, almost a perceived need for more, and a greater exposure. And so I think that leads us into the second point of the discussion, and I think it connects to even in some articles that you've brought to the table here today, which is, what is the greater good?
Yeah.
I mean, we are talking not just about, hey, this is just a pleasure that the people get to enjoy if they choose to participate in that. But we're really, if we think about the greater good of people, and we think about introduction to things that are addictive, things that can destroy people emotionally, things that can lead to some of the extremes that you reference when it comes to trafficking and prostitution. But then even its simple impact on things like marriage, relationships. When we think about the greater good, there has to be some, at least, consideration of this thing that is pornography.
Yeah, and there's a opinion piece over the New York Post which sums this up well. But it says effects on young users per one doctor says modeling and imitation of inappropriate behaviors, unhealthy interference with normal sexual development, emotional side effects including nightmares and residual feelings of shame, guilt, anxiety, and confusion, and violent attitudes about sex and women. 15 states have declared it a public health crisis. So of course, online porn, the writer goes further, of course online porn is bad. Critics of prohibition may admit, but why can't parents do their job and police it? And so, of course, we're going to do everything we can to keep our sons and our daughters away from porn. But the reality is, there's numerous situations where we can't control their internet activities. And what about parents who are neglectful? Does the state not have some duty to protect all children from supremely addictive product that can twist their sexuality? So that's the thing that we have to look at, is what is the role of the government I get it, you know, protecting the minds of children, but this is an addictive, harmful, for anyone that would say, well, this doesn't harm anyone. It's just consenting adults, and it doesn't harm anyone. What some studies have shown is one of the reasons why we're seeing less marriage in 2019. One of the reasons why we're seeing less babies being born in marriage. One of the reasons why we're seeing less kind of hookup culture is because of porn.
Right.
And so it's because kids, you know, teenagers, boys and girls, not just boys.
Right, sure. And that's important to note. This is no longer, if it ever was,
yes,
at least the stigma certainly was that this used to be a male issue.
Yeah.
But that is not the case. It is across the board.
And so what we're seeing is the effects of that it's having on our society and on our culture. And it's one that we should take seriously.
Right.
Because it is absolutely, hurting minds, hurting relationships, and it's causing a problem. And folks, this is in the church too. It's not just happening outside the walls of the church. And so we have to at some point have a conversation. The issue though, for many, anytime you bring it up, people are like, I do not want to talk about that.
Right. Right.
You just said that word and I don't want to talk about it. And so, but it's a conversation that we have to at some level have a discussion about.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I think what you're hitting at here is really a critical piece. You talked about, you know, can't parents just, take on the responsibility and shelter their kids from this? Or can't a grown man or a grown woman just, you know, have some discipline in their life and walk away from those things? Well, I would say to you from the perspective of a person who might be an addict, they would very much say, man, I wish that it wasn't as accessible to me. I wish it wasn't as easy for me to get my eyes on. I wish that I couldn't just grab a hold of it with as quick as a click on my phone, or a tap on my laptop. I mean, I think there is a degree of that. And then even the perspective of the parent, I mean, yeah, there's all of us that would say we don't want our kids exposed to drugs, and we don't want our kids exposed to guns or when I say I'm gun violence or things of that sort. And yet, we will often stand against those things. And but why? And maybe rightfully so, because they can be on the wrong circumstance introduced to our children. Well, why do we not have that concern when
we
it comes
stand
to
against
porn?
Those things? And especially when it comes to we're doing everything, and not just here locally, but across the country to fight the drug addiction problem in our country. This is an addiction problem.
Right.
And that at some level is going to have to be addressed, because people are suffering and they're trying to, there are probably a lot of people that are saying, look, I want to quit. I want to stop. I'm trying. I can't though.
Right.
And because society is saying it's no big deal, keep doing it. Well, that's not helping the matter.
And although there are a different set of consequences, the degree of the consequences are just as big.
We'll be back.
I think of memories of years gone by, and sometimes Christmas makes me cry.
And we're back.
Wow.
Sometimes Christmas makes me cry.
That is emotional.
Sometimes
right
it makes me laugh.
Man.
Sometimes it makes me happy.
Were you there on Sunday? I apologize that I
we have two kids with strep.
Oh man, so no, okay.
We were
so
not there Sunday.
So it should be noted that on Sunday I spoke against not. Let me be very clear to say it wasn't like my topic. It just was a quick little side note that I threw in.
Okay.
And it really did connect to the point that I was making. Because I was talking about Mary's response to what she had heard from the angel Gabriel, her response, what we're studying is this thing that's described there in Luke chapter 1, kind of the Latin expression, my soul magnifies the Lord, the Magnificat is what we're doing this series. And so my point was, You know, when we experience revelation, meaning God showing himself to us through his word, through his spirit, through the church, that the response to the revelation of God is worship.
Mm-hmm.
My point was, made by a number of things, but the illustration that I used was, Mary, did you know?
Oh.
Mary, did you know?
That's a great song. Mark Lowry. Yeah.
And so I walked through the first verse, and then I basically just proclaimed to the people,
she knew.
Yes.
Yeah.
She didn't know exactly that he was going to walk on water.
She knew it was a big deal.
But she knew it was a really big deal because her response was worship.
Worship. Also, she also knew she was a virgin and
got
pregnant.
Right. It's a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
And so I probably...
upset a lot of people.
Yeah, I don't think I upset a lot of people in our congregation. Maybe I'm upsetting listeners right now. They may be turning off the station at this very moment.
You know, and that's one of those Christmas songs that, it's probably, not theologically correct. But it is it's a song that I enjoy listening to. And Mark Lowry, I heard him one time. He's part of the Gaither Vocal Bands from back in the day. And I heard him talking about that song. And he said he was sitting on the tour bus. And he said he just started thinking, what did Mary know and what didn't she know? And so he just started writing. He was like, I was just thinking about my mama holding me and not knowing what the future held. But deeper down, she knew it was a big deal. She knew it was Jesus. She knew that the prophets had foretold of what was to come. And so, I appreciate you ruining that.
Well, unfortunately, I think I took a very quick passing shot also at the little drummer boy.
We did that last week on the show.
We have Lessons and Carols this upcoming Sunday.
And you were singing it?
We're pretty fired up about Lessons and Carols.
Yeah,
two sold out shows at the Bijou.
It's going to be great.
Benefiting not only Hope Resource Center, but also, children in DCS care here in Knox County. Yeah. And so it's going to be a great, great, great night. But I got word that potentially some iteration or at least maybe an intro or something of, little drummer boy
and
may
you said
be
Chuck
included.
Hated it.
I know. I don't know. I could have been out of line on that.
Or maybe he listened to the show and was like, I'll show him. I'll put it in Lessons and Carols, which I'm hoping was his response.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And so it's going to be, that's going to be great. I can't wait for this Sunday. It's
and if
really
you want to
get
on a waiting list while we're talking about it, you can still do that. Our hope is that anyone who has some tickets reserved that deems they're not going to be able to use those will be turning them in. And so if you want to get on a waiting list, you can literally just do a quick Google search, Lessons and Carols, Knoxville. Or Lessons and Carols Knox, I believe, or maybe Knox Lessons and Carols. I should know that. But you'll find it quickly.
You know, and just one thing before we get back to our topic. I was in last year's Lessons and Carols.
You were.
I perform.
You were.
And then this year, I didn't even get a text.
Well,
or a phone call
I know, some other people. Like, you know, I know quite a few folks.
I mean, I played the Bijou last year.
You did.
For Lessons and Carols.
You had a gig at the BG.
And then I didn't get even a phone call.
But, or text, or email. But we are going to be featuring the ministry that you're the executive director of.
That's true. That's true. And I'll take that.
Yeah, we do it.
I'm not hurt. I'm not bitter. Jason.
But you just feel like you should know.
I just feel like that, you know, I mean, I was told by many people, and by that I mean,
none.
But I was, in my mind was told by many people that I really stole the show last year. and so to not even get a word.
I know it was
not a letter
from
Chuck or anything.
It was a shock for all of us.
And I wouldn't have been able to do it. I wouldn't have been able to do it anyway.
Right.
I just, you know.
Yeah, it would have been a courtesy.
Yeah, just, I wanted to be able to say no. Is what I'm saying. No, it's going to be a great show.
It will be good. So today we again make the hard transition back into the discussion of today related to pornography. And, I think at least expressed our opinion on that we do think it is really harmful. I would continue that thought that we think whatever – you know, prohibition can be put towards it. It is indeed for the betterment of our people. We very much recognize that probably a lot of people, some of which maybe even we would respect on various issues, might have a differing opinion, but that's where we're at. And no matter how it really is, you know, involved in politics or legislation, what are just simple simple, you know, encouragements that you would offer to our listeners? Maybe they're personally dealing with pornography. Maybe they're fearful as a parent that their child would be introduced to pornography. Maybe they've got a loved one that's entangled in it. Just give us maybe an initial first thought.
Yeah, well, I think I heard Russell Moore talk about it one time, and he said a family came up to him and said, you know, my kid is addicted to porn, and we've you know, taken his smartphone, or we've done this, or we've done that. Then he went to a friend's house and he looked at it. And Russell Moore said, do you have a computer in your home? And they said, well, yeah, we have a computer in our home, that he gets on, and we've known that he's looked at it on there as well. And he says, you need to get rid of the computer. And, oh, we can't get rid of the computer. We need the computer for work. We need a computer. And they just started making excuses. And he said, you either want to protect the soul of your child or you want the computer.
Right.
And so, in that extreme case, there are going to be things that we have to do extremely to remove that from our life or our kids' life. But in just normal everyday use, we have to be aware of what's going on. And so if our kid has a tablet, we need to know, at the very least, it needs to have parental controls. I was in the kitchen last night. Here's an example of failed parenting. I was in the kitchen last night. Evelyn tells Alexa to play, I don't even, some like birthday cake song, because, you know, and they've been told multiple times not to talk to Alexa. And so I'm sitting there.
We probably need to make that statement. I mean, the funny thing is last night, it's like 9:30 at night. I mean, I'm ready to call it night, and I hear literally, I don't hear the question, but I hear this. This is great. I hear the answer is 26.77. So, you know, whatever it may be. Yeah. And I was like,
He's cheating
his homework. Now, I think, I think maybe he was doing checking some of the secondary details of it, but I was like, oh man.
Well, so Evelyn told Alexa to play this song, and then all of a sudden coming out of the speaker is this very vulgar, extreme F word.
Oh no.
Bad words. And so I yelled at Alexa.
Yeah.
Never play that song again. And she was like, I've made a note. And then.
Really? You can do that?
Apparently, I didn't know that was a thing. I just was angry.
I need to find out what other things I can say to Alexa when I'm angry.
Then I immediately went on my phone and on the app and put in parental controls, where they're not going to be able to listen. Those songs won't come up.
Right.
But see, that was a thing. I didn't even think that my 4-year old now would tell her to play a vulgar song. My 4-year old's heart wasn't, I want to hear a nasty song. It was, but what came out of the speaker was that. And so you can have the same thing on the TV. You don't know about Netflix. My kids may not be out looking for it, but it may come across the screen. That may start a problem and it goes further. So we got to be looking for those ways to put barriers up.
Yeah. So, you know, I will affirm and continue that thought. And then let me add another piece into it. You know, at the end of the day, you cannot simply just attempt to remove all things and think that an issue of lust or some of the stuff that's deeply rooted in our heart is just going to go away. In fact, there's all kinds of stories of in our church forefathers, I mean, quite literally about monks moving to islands, you know, being completely castrating themselves. Yeah. I mean, some extreme stuff. And then confessing they still had issues of lust and that they still had, these things of the flesh. And so that's true. And I would say thus, when we think about our own heart, when we think about the heart of our children, we don't just try to do this proactively. We're really going to try to pour into them. We're going to elevate the idea of purity. We're going to talk to them about, and talk to our spouse about, you know, our temptations. We're going to bring this thing to light in light of who Jesus is, in light of who we are as image bearers. And so there's that. And then let me say this. Let's not be idiots.
Yeah.
You know, like absolutely jump on every technology form you have in your home and put whatever filters are needed in place. There are all kinds of things that are already built in, and then there are additional apps that you can download. There are certainly various resources and websites that provide filters for all of your different streaming. Let's do both. Let's work on our heart.
Absolutely.
But let's also take on these practical
And it's
steps.
Worth the time and effort. And it's going to take time and effort to do that. And not just for our kids, But for us, we need those barriers as well, and we need our hearts worked on as well. We'll finish up when we come back.
Hang on the mistletoe. I'm going to get to know you better. This Christmas and
that, my friends, that you were just singing, moving your lips to,
yeah.
Train.
That's Train. That's a great song, no matter who sings it. But at least we know there is a Christmas
album. Now, let me rephrase that. They may have not written that song.
They definitely didn't write that song.
But that is a great song that I listen to.
Every band, every artist should come out with a Christmas album. They should.
Yeah,
they should. I don't know why they wouldn't.
I think there's a few additional hits. I'm going to prepare for next week's show that Train has put out.
Hey, Jason, as we were talking earlier about, you know, people we know, and there's a big Christmas concert coming up of a guy that played at your wedding. I don't know why I didn't mention this earlier, but this past Friday, I was at lunch with the governor, Governor Lee. So I just wanted, I think it's important that I put it out there.
Yeah, that's good.
Just so we're,
now, just as a reminder, I also was invited to that lunch.
Oh.
And I just couldn't attend.
Oh, you know,
but just to let you know, on Monday, this is great. This is actually really true. On Monday, Carrie said to me, what are you doing today? Or I think I asked her, what are you doing today? And she's like, I'm going to go play tennis. And then I'm going to go to the office. Yeah. I'm going to do this. And she said to me, what are you doing? And I said, well, this morning I have a meeting with White House officials. And she was like, wait, what? And I was like, yes, this is really true. So many of you know that we are heavily involved in an initiative with a network of Knox County churches, as well as our Mayor Jacobs. Mm-hmm. And we are going to be launching a fantastic facility in 2020 called the Renew Clinic.
Yeah.
And we're a part of a lot of other things. And so there were a bunch of people. They were much more important than me at the table.
But you were
some
there.
Folks came in from Washington to actually hear what we're doing as a network of churches and also in coordination and in conjunction with our local government.
That's awesome.
That's pretty cool.
That's awesome. You know, I'm actually in January going to the White House. So, but that's,
I love
I'm
that.
Really happy
I love
for
that.
You.
That's
I think
great.
That's great.
That is fantastic. Oh, it's great. Hey, so we're going to talk about some lighthearted things here at the very end, but I do want to mention one final group, Street Hope of Tennessee. They can be found at streethopetn.org.
Yes, really good.
They're a fantastic ministry resource here in town. Again, streethopetn.org. They do all Knox County schools training on prevention as it relates to pornography and things of that sort. It would be a great resource for you and for your church and your family to be aware of.
Yeah, great organization. We work closely with them at Hope, and Devin leads that. Chad Sparks is on the board.
Yep.
Just a really, really good organization.
So as we wrap up today, you said you saw a picture on Instagram that concerned you.
I did. Carrie posted a picture on
Carrie's
Instagram.
Carrie's my wife.
Yeah, and she was sitting in the lap of Santa Claus.
With almost a shady caption. What was
it said all like something to the effect, all I want is you for Christmas or something like that.
Yeah, I mean just
the
vulgarity of it.
I looked at it and my first thought was, whose lap is she sitting in?
Correct.
Because that's not her husband.
Right.
And so I sent an email to every partner at Shoreline.
Correct. That's good. That's good.
With the picture and the caption and said,
like
we got to get to the bottom of this.
Like that.
I didn't go to the elders. I went straight to the people.
That's not true.
I didn't do that. But I did zoom in and I was like, oh, okay, that's Jason's eyes.
Those are Jason's chubby cheeks.
Initially I was like, wow, that's not.
Yeah, a big day. I was Santa at North Shore Elementary School for their Christmas program.
Man, what a week you've had.
It initially started with just simply me being Santa for a part of the program. And then it turned into, the program was going to involve an additional song that I was going to be a part of at the end. And then it turned into, all the students were going to walk by Santa. I was out in my kind of big chair in the lobby, and actually the fourth grade, which was their program, they were going to get pictures with me. And then actually even turned into a quick little appearance at a Christmas parade.
Goodness.
Here in a couple of weeks, or in a week, I would say, at their school as well. But here's the great statement. One of our dear friends, one of the teachers there, and I won't mention her name, she, as I'm experiencing hugs from kindergartners and things of that sort, and that was not the plan. They weren't supposed to do that. I didn't want them to pull on my beard or anything of that sort. I'm also feeling like in the very moment I'm getting the flu.
You know, 100%. As I'm, you're definitely sick.
I'm hugging a million kids, things of that sort. And she whispers over my ear, don't worry about the flu. She said, in my class, we have head lice. And I, and
at least you have your head shaved.
Yeah, it was.
But I would, can you clean that beard?
It was terrifying.
Can you clean the beard of the Santa suit?
I'm not sure. Well, you're going to have to figure that out.
You might want to do that, Jason. Merry Christmas. We'll talk to you next week.